Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here today, to be fed the Word of God, that we may take out from this place the truth of His love, His grace, His mercy, His strength, His word, will, and power, that all we would come in contact with would receive from Him that very thing, which is our eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, we are going to be continuing in Psalm 91, where I left off the last time I preached. We had two guest speakers. I was away for a week with our men's ministry, which went very well. And Brother Mitch was here. How many of you enjoyed Brother Mitch? He was a good man, very good teacher. I love his teaching. I love his preaching. And very good guy. As we look where God is leading us, then the following week, I said we were going to have the sermon, and we had our Gideon speaker. I forgot all about it. It's on my calendar. But last week, we actually got to see and hear a Gideon speaker. He's the international speaker. He was at the international event, and he shared with us. And he's from Washington State, and what a wonderful time it was to hear his words of encouragement and how the Word of God changes lives, lives that in other ways would never have been touched had they not had that book given to them or found it somewhere. And it's so amazing because God says, "My word shall not go out and return void, but shall accomplish the work to which I have sent it forward." And may we remember that truth. So today, we're going to move forward in the Word from Psalm 91. I'm going to recap the first section, and then we're going to move on into the second section of Psalm 91. From the first verse of Psalm 91 through the 10th verse is what I'm going to read. It says to us here in the word of the Lord, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent." Blessed be the word of our Lord as we begin again in this beautiful psalm. This psalm reminds us that there is a place for us, the church, to abide. And that abiding is in the shadow of the Almighty. That abiding is a secret place. That abiding is a place that is provided to us by only one way. There are not many ways. There is one way to find it, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has said to us, who has told us, and has proved to us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. There are many religions, but all religions are false. They worship false gods. They worship fake gods. They literally worship demonic entities. A lot of people want to disagree with me upon that. That's fine. You may disagree. When we all get to the end of life, and we all will get there, there will be a judgment. And in that day, we're going to find out who's right and who's wrong. I don't need to worry about being right or being wrong, because for me, the Word has spoken its truth from the beginning of time to the end of time. And I believe that's Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21:20. So as we look to the truth of God's Word, we know He has it covered, beginning to the end. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And he is the one that we must come under. He is that refuge that we find ourselves in. He is that one who is able to make us his abode, for he abides in us and we in him. And secondly, we also understand that there are going to be terrors that are going to come at us by night and by day. How many of you have had terrors in this past week? Things come at us all the time. But have they destroyed you? No. We need to understand hardship is going to come upon us. It is the reality of man, for we live in a fallen world. But we have the understanding that through Christ Jesus, our eternity is sure. We know that God has us in the palm of his hands and that nothing can take us away from him. The things that we go through in this life, we go through them as ways of transformative grace. It is the purging of God of the dross of our lives to get us to change from where we are to where God wants us to be. How many of you love that process? It's a tough process at times. At other times, it's easy because we've already learned a lesson, and when the trial comes, we remember and we do the right things to go in the right direction. We all love those times, don't we? But when we choose poorly, what happens to us? Poorly happens. But we're still not consumed. It's understanding the reality of that truth that God is giving us here, that the terror by night, nor the terror by day, nor any pestilence, nor darkness or destruction shall harm us. For we need to understand our eternity is sure and secure in Christ Jesus. That's where we left off the last time we were here. And I made a comment to you, and I said at the end of the sermon, I said, if you want to look a little bit further, angels long to hear from us. What do I mean by that? Well, I want you to look at what Psalm 91 says to us from the 11th verse through the 13th verse. God is speaking here to us. He says, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Satan tempted our Lord Jesus with this very scripture. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down, for God will send his angels concerning you that you would not bruise your foot. And the Lord Jesus rebuked Satan and said that we are not to test our Lord. We need to understand that in these things, I'm going to tell you right now, we have angels that are longing to hear our prayers, longing to hear what our groanings are coming from our hearts, that they may take our prayers into heaven and then receive them back to us from God himself. We understand through the book of Daniel that there is a spiritual war that is going on out there in the heavenlies. There are three heavens. The first heaven is in our atmosphere. It goes up about 60 miles. And then you have what we call space. That's the second heaven. That is where the heavenly battle is taking place in the spiritual realm. And in that place, the demonic beings and the angelic beings are at war over our prayers and our lives. It is a war that has raged since the beginning of time, and as the time of Satan gets closer, we see and hear the rumblings from it here on our earth. Look around, dear people. How many things do we see falling apart here on earth because things aren't the way they used to was? We're being told that we need to think in a certain way that is completely against biblical principles. Daniel understood this because things were happening in his life that were against the Bible, against the reality of our Lord God. And he prayed, and he prayed and fasted. For 3 weeks he prayed and he fasted, and it seemed as though his prayers were never going to come true. Nothing was ever going to be answered. How many of you have ever been there? How many of you have ever thought that there are demonic beings fighting the angel who is bringing the answer to your prayer? That is exactly what is going on in this world. We need to understand the spiritual world is far more powerful than this physical world. But we have the ability to see into that spiritual world, to understand the things that are going on, and to rely and wait upon the Lord. Because when He answers the prayer, when the angels were fighting, it literally caused the archangel Michael to have to come and defend that other angel to get his prayers through to Daniel. Let us not forget the angels long to hear our prayers, for it tells us in the book of Hebrews that when we think about these things, we need to understand that the angels were appointed unto us who are receiving salvation. They long to look into these things. They don't understand these things because we can mess up. And God still loves us. If an angel messes up, what happens to that angel? We know, because when Satan fell, a third of the angels fell with him because they chose poorly. And they're unredeemable. But by the grace of God, we are redeemable. And the angels are here to attend us. The angels are here to walk with us. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings. This is one of the stories about the angels, and most of us know this story, but I want us to be reminded of it, and I want you to see where you can move even forward into this. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 15 through 17. Please put a bookmark back there in Psalms, because we're coming back. I should have said that before I told you to turn to Kings. But in 2 Kings, Elijah is here. And there's a king, the king of Aram is looking to kill the prophet. Because the prophet keeps warning the king of Israel about things that are going to happen. So the king of Israel keeps evading the king of Aram. And he's very upset. So he sends an army to kill the prophet. And here's what happens from verse 15. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, from verse 15, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You and I need to understand there are far more angelic spirits in this world, and they are here to serve us. God has given them charge to serve us, not charge over us, but charge to be here to protect us, to guide us, to lead us, and in many instances, to save us through His Word. If you read the rest of this chapter, several portions throughout, it is so amazing to me what has happened in Elijah's day. And there were thousands of warriors, and they were routed. Or there was another time when there was several hundred thousand, and all of a sudden they disappeared. Why? Because God sent a confusing spirit to them. That's an angelic being. We need to understand that God puts His angels in charge to watch over us. Do we worship angels? No. We worship our Lord Jesus Christ. These angelic beings are our aid in the spirit realm, because we can't see what's happening in the spirit realm, but we can see the repercussions thereof. Look around our world. How much discord is there in the world? Over the 4th of July weekend here in the United States, how many shootings were there over the 4th of July week? I want you to think about just where our world is and what is happening. A lot of these young people that are doing these shootings are into the transgender movement. Why are they coming out? They're getting everything they want. So why are they killing people? Why are they coming after people? Because they have lost their true identity. They have no idea who they are or what they are. It is only in God the Father that we understand who we are, what we are, and the purpose we have. And when the evil one takes away your purpose, life has no value. But in God, we have all value. For the God of the universe spread wide his arms on the cross of Calvary. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that received every human being into it that was ever born or would be born. But we have to choose him. You don't simply get covered because he did it. You must choose him. John 3:16 says, what to us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. It doesn't say to believe in Buddha. It doesn't say to believe in this political philosophy. It doesn't say to believe in this money standard. It doesn't say to believe in this company. It doesn't say to believe in yourself. It is to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and out of the grave and into heaven. We cannot forget the resurrection, for the power of the cross is the resurrection. The cross removes our sin. The resurrection seats us in the heavenlies. Can I get an amen? We must remember who and whose we are, and the angels long to see these things. They wish to look into them because we know that as we move forward in these things, God says that we will trample we will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Now that's a metaphor, okay? How many of you wrestle with lions? Quite honestly, every one of us wrestles with lions. How many of you mess around with cobras in a physical, real world? No, I like snakes, but not venomous snakes. But how many of us see the venomous snakes of this world attacking our children, coming after them at a young age? You better believe it's happening. But we have power over those things, that when we call out unto the Lord God, he will send forth his angels. But we have got to work with him. We have got to understand he is the strength, he is the power, he is the way, and in him is life. And if we choose that life, God will protect us. But we have to do something. There is something we must do. Look in your Bibles to Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. It says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I'm going to hold verse 16. But I want you to look at 14 and 15 there. It says, you know his name. What is his name? It is the name that is above every name. It is the name that at every time it is spoken, every person, every spirit on heaven and in earth will bow. It is the name we in America say Jesus. Hebraically, it's Yeshua. And he is our Savior. We must hold fast to that and call his name. Call out his name. You know my name. That implies that you are calling out his name into the things of your life. I remember when I had my car accident. I spoke about this the last time we got together. As I saw that truck with the drunk driver turn right into me, I went on the brakes. And I mean I went on the brakes. Both feet on that pedal. These are the words that came out of my mouth. Jesus, I can't stop it. One man died. I had a busted hip sticking 5 inches out the back socket and a busted knee that was bleeding. I'm on blood thinners, dear people. If I start bleeding, I will bleed out. I prayed. An angel was there. Y'all might think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I spoke with her, and so did the pastor. This accident involved 3 pastors. I had a pastor in the car with me, my mentor, the man who raised me up. And in the other vehicle was a youth pastor. God was disciplining 3 of his men. The angel went to my friend, spoke to him. He's hypoglycemic, and he was all messed up, and he was shouting at this angel. I didn't realize it was an angel, it was a woman. Blonde hair, blue coat. She moved away from him. She came around the vehicle, wedged herself in between me and the truck. She laid her hand on my arm and she said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Pray, but not for me." I said, "Pray for my wife and my son. Pray for my church and pray for these 2 men. I said, "Because I know my time is just about up." I said, "I'm bleeding. And I'm just going to bleed out. It's okay. I'm ready to go. I wish I had more time, but if this is what the Lord wants, I'm ready to go." I said, "But pray for my friend that he would be able to get his sugar under control and that his injuries aren't hard. And from what I hear, the other driver's not doing well. Pray that he doesn't die." I said, "Let my wife and my son know that I love them and that I'll see them again." The angel said these words to me. She squeezed my arm and said, "It's done." That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's done. When she squeezed my arm, it was like 10,000 volts of electricity went through my... It hurt so bad. It hurt so bad, but yet it didn't hurt. Does that make sense? I mean, it was like 10,000 volts of electricity went through my body, but in that same instance, that pain was gone. Guess what else was gone? My bones weren't healed, but the blood was gone. I had stopped bleeding, and the blood was gone. I had blood in my boots. How many of you have walked in wet boots? You know what it feels like. And that angel said, "It's done." Not because I'm special, but I truly believe because I thought not of myself, but of those others who were with me and who were going to be left behind. God was testing this old boy. Are you going to finally submit to me? Because that day I chose that I was leaving the church I was serving outside of God's will. We got to get it right in His will. And when we do, we may go through some stuff, but I'm standing here today telling you the story because I listened. I listened to His voice. And that's the second part of this. What does it say? It says, "He will call upon me, and I will answer him." I couldn't stop that car. I couldn't stop the truck. Jesus didn't stop it. But in it, He was there, and He answered. The thing of it is, are we going to listen to His voice? Turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John in the 10th chapter. Please pardon me while I blow my nose. My God's real, and he speaks to us. From John 1, John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the door opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He puts forth all his own. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Dear brothers and sisters, in Psalm 91, verse 15, he says, and I will answer them. What does that imply? It implies that we know his voice. We know who he is. We hear him and we obey. You and I have got to understand one thing. In all of life, there is a voice, and that voice is speaking to each and every one of them. Are you going to listen to the voice? I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. That's the end of the psalm. We must listen to that voice. That voice is our salvation. That voice leads us into a deeper love than any of us could ever imagine. For we serve a God who loves us to the point that he gave his life that we may find it. You have to choose today. All of you out there, are you finally going to become that living sacrifice? Are you going to dwell in the shelter of the Most High? And will you abide in the shadow of the Almighty? To do so, you must cast out all idols and listen to that voice, the only voice that leads us home. Pray with me. Father God, this day, I choose, and I pray everyone in my hearing chooses, that we will forsake all the voices in our heads, all the voices in our world, and we will turn to you and you alone. For your voice is the voice of salvation, your voice is the voice of help, your voice is the voice of mercy, and all of which we need through the grace that is Christ Jesus, our good shepherd. Guide us into this newness that all of us seek. Teach us to listen in such ways that, Lord God, we wait for every syllable, for in it we find our hope and we have our joy. May your truth reign in our lives, and may all of us surrender ourselves to you. For those out there who have heard this message and are choosing you for the first time, Lord God, as they choose you, may they understand that you are their salvation, and your voice is now their only guiding path. Lead us home, Lord. Lead us home in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.